This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. Honesty, integrity, hard work. It's the way you live and the way we bank. Bank of Colorado has been a family-owned, community-focused bank for generations and will be here for generations to come. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
A clip of the day because I forgot to send Michael a clip. So we brought Derbs, the dude down the hall.
Hello, friends.
And we brought in Tanner Schwent.
Hello.
Hi.
Just sitting over here. Derbs is texting me. Derbs is texting me from across the room.
What did you text him, Derbs?
Well, I thought it'd be inappropriate to say out loud because he's working on social media things, and I don't understand what he's talking about.
What's a Waka Flocka safety camera? Do you know Waka Flocka?
I know Waka Waka.
He was an artist.
Well, a rapper.
It's barely what Tanner talked about this morning.
A rapper safety camera? Well,
no, the flock cameras. See, this is why, we've brought this show down already.
Hello. Well, I know what those cameras
Nobody
are.
Nobody cares.
They have them in Greeley. I don't like it.
What are they? What are we doing?
It's the automated license plate readers.
We had 29% accurate.
That's not true.
That's almost half.
They're automated license plate readers.
So if you run a red light or something?
No, just if you drive by one, it captures your license plate, even if you didn't do anything wrong. And then if there's an active warrant or something like that, it'll ding and say, hey. Or if there's a kidnapping that happens. There was a kidnapping that happened down in downtown Greeley a couple months ago. And they use these to track the individual down. So that was our big interview. Micah, this is not up for conversation. I was just explaining what we talked about.
They're wildly inaccurate.
License plate. How do you even know?
A woman spent 7 months in jail because they got this wrong.
Got some good meals and a workout.
No, and this
ask
sorry,
everybody in Denver
fault.
What they think of these flock cameras.
This isn't Denver, Mike. Why don't you go to
ask
Boulder?
Ask Nine News what they've been saying about
Coach
these flock cameras.
Why don't you, go in the corner. Put your little dunce of shame
go
on.
Go serve Coach Primus papers, Mike. Can you do that for me?
Cone of shame. We need to get a cone of shame for Micah.
You know who hates, who agrees with me and hates these cameras?
What do you mean everyone?
He's ruining your show.
He found a new clip, and now by awesome saying Pixar on Friday, everybody knows that, he has butchered it.
Yeah.
I am actually we're going to probably get rid of that. So. That is one demerit. And this
one demerit,
strike,
Thomas.
I just hate
when used properly, that one cracks me up.
Don't give him any kind of fuel because he takes it. Look at him. He's grinning back there.
He's very happy.
I said when used properly. And it's
He never uses anything properly.
Micah came in and played pretty damn
good. No, Micah didn't play pretty damn good, Vic. He didn't. He's pretty bad. We should probably cut him from the team, to be honest with you.
I'll see you guys later.
I can get us in and out of this. I know I can get the board ready.
So what's on your mind? You're coming at me. You hate the whole Coach Prime attacks that I'm putting out there. You're now one of the Buffs cultists.
I'm far from that. I was out on Prime before they hired him. I just think it would be absolutely hilarious that if all of a sudden, because people are like, we're more talked about now than ever. It's like, yeah, not all publicity is good publicity.
They're talked about right now because there's a sheriff looking for their coach. I mean, that's the bottom line, and I know it's not because of him.
Right.
But that's a pretty significant story.
Not great, Bob. It's not, and I don't know. Like I said, when we talked about this a couple mornings ago, I don't know the full story. I think that I know that law enforcement – oftentimes does have a little bit of an ego and gamesmanship as well. So were they really going to try and drill him right at practice while there was media out there? I think that's a little on that side. But also, like, what is Prime doing? Like, go to the courthouse and get the warrant or get the subpoena and be like, okay, I'll be there. He can pay for the best legal team there is. Like, stop the games and just get
that's
it over with.
That's my problem with this. It's never just it's his son.
Yeah.
So testifying for his son can only be good for his son to have Coach Prime there.
Right.
And yet,
just go do it.
It takes a sheriff to try to track you down on campus during practice, whatever, to serve you papers for a subpoena for a court date for your son.
Lord knows he's a terrible in-game coach anyways, so if he has to miss a game, probably help the Buffaloes.
Oh, he went at 10:22. Nobody knows if the sheriff actually went to the field, but he did talk to some people there at CU, and they were cooperating, but it's still unclear to me.
You know what I don't?
It's unclear to me, can the sheriff go, where is Coach Prime? And then they say, here's where he is. And then that's how we get that done.
I don't ever like a university bending a knee to a coach. And that's what I feel like CU's doing is like, okay, you know what? You are a king now. You shall bend. We will bend the knee for you. And I hate that. And he certainly runs things down there. And the Keeler, I don't agree with everything that Keeler does, but it's just insane that he can't ask questions down in Boulder anymore. Like it has turned into a circus. I did somebody on X last night called me a Boulder graduate because I would do real well down in Boulder. Everyone knows that, right?
Well, Tanner attacked me online. And
I just said it's going to be hilarious when they win 10 games.
People kind of defended me, like one of the only ones.
I thought it was our intern.
Yeah.
I don't know our interns around here.
It's not the name.
No,
None of those names are actually even close.
It is.
What was his name?
Jackson.
And this guy's name's Garrett.
Yeah.
That's
in the ballpark. G and J are close together.
Two different things.
Mm.
Those are different
things. No, what I'm fired up about is that the Nuggets are ruining Nikola Jokic's chance to
win
another title.
Yeah, you were really leaning in on the whole idea that Joker's going to be gone.
That's not a hot take. That's not a, hey,
no,
listen to this.
It's not a hot take. It actually is more of a relevant conversation now. Like my old producer Vay, when he would always say, oh, he's going to be a Laker, he's going to be like, that wasn't real life.
No.
But yeah, I suppose he could look at this news today, Derbs, and say, they didn't get Peyton Watson either. Does he grow frustrated with this? Based on everything he's told us, we can only believe what he's told us, and this, he's never going to leave the Nuggets unless it is to retire.
I feel like he's one of the honest ones at that too. I really do feel like he believes that he will end his career here. This season has to go real sideways, I would think, like where it just becomes a miserable experience for him.
Yeah,
because he likes the quieter situation. That's what Denver is, and most of the teams that are going to court him are going to be the bigger faces of the NBA, the Knicks, the Heat, the Lakers, all that fun stuff. I don't think he wants to go through any of that process.
No, so, I don't think he does either.
So I think it's either I go ride horses after this season or I re-sign and we try to figure it out.
What do you mean by this season would have to go completely sideways? What is does that miss the playoffs?
Yeah, I would say 40 wins, 35-40 wins, something like that, where they're not even sniffing the bottom end of the playoffs. Because he knows nothing more than winning 50-plus games.
Yeah.
So having something considerably less than that, I think, would maybe sway him a little.
And I guess where I push back a little, too, on the whole championship thing, nowadays especially, we've had a new NBA champion, for the past 8 years.
Mm-hmm.
So it's difficult to say, you're not winning the championship, so blow this whole thing up, or Joker's going to leave. It's hard to do it.
I understand that, but nobody else has Nikola Jokic. And I think we all agree he is the best player in the game right now, and it's not particularly close. So you should have an advantage. When there's parity and all of a sudden you have the best best player in the league, you should have the advantage, and the front office just hasn't done this. I think, Brady, you like to say that Nikola Jokic is up there, maybe even above John Elway, greatest sports figure of all time. He's going to turn into Todd Helton is what he's going to do. He's going to turn into Todd Helton. He's going to be the guy that is going to be a lifelong Nugget, have one little bit of success there, and then that's gonna be it. I think that's closer comparison to John Elway.
Three-time MVP, title.
Championships, man, championships.
I think that's okay for him. I mean, he brought the first NBA championship here. Like, that's a large
thing.
No,
it's not a bad thing to be Todd Helton. Yeah. Like, you know, in that group, but he will never dethrone. Like, you'll have to you need to retire that one already
because he'll dethrone him. Never win two more championships and then he'll have three.
Probably already has.
And yeah. He probably already has.
Alpha Diallo in his
no
picture.
I want to get to this text with you guys. HVAC guy says my teams are Fairview Knights and CU Buffs. Locals are 100% out on Prime. We have been out. It's up to the kids that pay for the game tickets. Show is awesome till someone else who shall remain nameless enter the room.
Thanks, HVAC.
It can either be Derbs.
No, it's me.
Or Tanner.
Oh, it's me.
No, it's definitely me. It's definitely me. I like that's the thing though too, because we know this. You put that out there. It's not just CU fans. It's the Prime fans. It's the idiots that are across the country. It's what?
Well,
now?
This one just doesn't like the Prime talk. This one, Oklahoma says yes. Please talk about Nuggets, Broncos, Rockies, mowing your lawn, or Flick cameras. But enough on Coach Prime. I believe a large part of your audience could care less about Jim or about him or CU. I mean, it's a pretty significant story.
Yeah, and you love to hate, right? You love to hate. That's why Prime is so good. I in my lifetime that I can remember, now I'm a younger man, but in my lifetime, I've never seen a more consequential college football win than when CU beat TCU that first week. I can remember. I'm 29 years old. I cannot. This whole state had a buzz to it. I was out at a bar, just got done with a golf tournament, and everybody in there was paying attention to the TV for a CU TCU game. That's never happened. So to say that, no, you know, 2%, that's just wrong, Oklahoma. I love you, man, but that's just wrong. This is a huge story. This is the only story in Colorado when it comes to college football that anyone outside of the state of Colorado will pay attention to this year, unless for some reason Mora and the Rams just take off. I was listening to a podcast the other day, and they were talking about the Mountain West, and they were talking about how people, he's like, well, I guess it's not even the Mountain West anymore. Like, people really don't even know that the Mountain West still exists, and now it's the Pac-12.
You're going to make Go Pokes really upset.
But that's what I'm saying. Like, they are the national media perceives the Pac-12 as just the Mountain West name, right? But that's what I'm saying. So even at the national level, the only story outside of Colorado that's going to have any legs on it this year is going to be CU. So I think that's a little unfair for Oklahoma to say.
Well,
that.
It's big this week because the ratings are down. Well, yeah. We saw the story where the ratings are down, and Coach Prime was subpoenaed, and Sheriff. It's like Tom and Jerry out there at Boulder, and Sheriff running around in circles, and then Coach Prime peeks around, like, well, not today, and then he runs back into his office, and I don't know if he'll get him.
This is the hard thing with college football for me because I love college football to death, but paying attention to the local stories for a considerable amount of time is difficult sometimes because most often the years are either mediocre or below average. Every once in a while we'll get a good season, but we don't around here, we don't have title hopes a whole lot. So we got to create something else. And so when you have Prime come in and do all the things that Prime does, like, I mean, that's going to dominate things.
And that's a great point because Coach Prime had the one good year, but outside of that, it's been, like you said, you had one year of the three where you actually thought, oh, maybe this is the year. And then the other two were bad, but it's Coach Prime. So.
And the most watched CSU football game of all time was because of Prime, and CSU's going to hate me for saying that.
But it's not wrong.
That Rocky Mountain Showdown was because of just the opportunity, and now there were some really good football plays in that game as well with Torrey Horton and Travis Hunter and Shadur Sand. Like, there was good there was pro-level players that were playing in that game. But, yeah, I mean, the college football talk. Like, we love Ed Lamb. We love Ed Lamb. I think we're all fired up about what he
can do. But he's not making a lot of headlines.
He's 5-30, man. Well, like,
way he makes headlines is if he wins. He's not going to do or say anything where people are going to go
yell at me.
That's almost
that was deserved.
All of this though takes care of that. Like, if any of our local teams here, you know, have 9, 10, 11, 12 win seasons, it fixes basically the perspective of national media around where we don't need the hoopla, because I don't have another term for that.
Hoopla is a great term. You know,
like I'm a football fan. I want to watch the football, but when all the football is all bad, we have to talk about something.
Well, now you got Mora, who does have that national level coaching name too. So if CSU does make some noise early, then that's where all the attention is going to go.
Yeah, Mora's, I mean, he's not as popular by any stretch.
No.
But he's definitely, if it wasn't for Prime being here, that'd be the biggest named coach, one of the biggest names I think that's ever been in the state.
Yeah.
You know, I know Sonny Lubick's big, but he created that. Mm-hmm. You're going to get a guy like Jim Mora to come over here.
No, I agree. I'm cautiously optimistic for college football this year. I'm not expecting much. I can't do that, because it seems like it is wash, rinse, and repeat, where it's, okay, you know, we were fired up because UNC won four damn games last year.
Yeah.
You know?
They were close in the losses.
They were close. But that's like, we considered that a successful season. So
yeah.
I'm cautiously optimistic, because I think Moore knows what he's doing. If he would just name a damn quarterback, then we'd be all set. But he decides to play, we're not going to tell Wyoming who's going to, we just got done with that with Norvell, with the blue color, gas station shirt. Stop playing games. Tell me who the quarterback is. If it's Haas Haney, then it's Haas Haney. We're going to have Wyoming down here, and we're going to kick the crap out of him. Just stop.
Even this quarterback thing. It's such a terrible
there
thing.
It's not.
It is a bad
there
thing.
Is never, other than the one example that you threw out there about Tua and Jalen Hurts at Alabama, there has never been a situation where if you've got a quarterback competition coming down to the last 16 days, I think, that we're in now, it's not good. Because if you've got two quarterbacks, you don't have a quarterback.
These reps are important, though. Like, I don't think they probably know who it is, but I think for development reasons, these practices mean something, where they probably are like, you know what, if he's going to be our guy 100% of the time, you know, giving 40% of the share in a practice is going to mean something to the other guy going forward. Because there's not a whole lot of college football teams that have one quarterback that lasts a whole season.
Yeah,
and
that's
true. You help it, when you respect him by giving him a lot of reps, you help him stay in the program.
Yeah,
and they're both young guys.
Keep them engaged.
It's all about the NIL. But the leader in the locker room has to be your quarterback. And if the guys around the team don't know who that guy is that they're looking to on the offensive side of the ball, that's a problem. It's a problem. And if they're like, who's it going to be? Because then you're going to create division amongst the team. Half the team's going to want this guy. Half the team's going to want this guy.
I just don't think
it's
with a
never.
New
it's the
coach,
Popes.
A new, like, he's new to CSU, Jim Mora. I just don't think that thing you're talking about, like half the team's going to want this guy, half the team, they're all new. They're all trying to figure out. Now, there's UConn guys that might want Kason Farrar to be the quarterback, but I don't.
They've been together since February, though, right? I mean, wasn't that what the announcement
was?
January,
still,
February?
Like, they haven't experienced
but
the season.
They've gone
yet.
Through a full offseason now of working in the weight room. They've been doing the practices. They've been out there. Like, somebody has to be standing out. And if nobody's standing out right now, it's an issue. It is an issue.
Well, also, how do you know that they don't know?
But that's what I'm saying. Just announce it.
They probably
don't
know.
Want to announce
but
it.
But that's dumb, too.
They don't want Wyoming to know.
So that's so stupid.
Why?
Because CSU,
to
you
make
just...
us happy?
You just got
if
you need games and tricks to beat Wyoming this year,
everybody does that.
But you shouldn't have to.
That's what
it is. You're part of the big pack now. You shouldn't have to play mind games with freaking Wyoming.
You can do it before the season starts, and you haven't named your quarterback. It's a tiny little advantage that you can have. So Wyoming's not saying we're going to go back and study all of Haas Haney. Now they got to study both. It's extra work for them. They don't know exactly which one they're preparing for. It is a thing, and I actually don't have a problem with that one.
I think it's really dumb. I think it is really dumb. You're now in this. You're in the mighty pack. You left
conference champions.
100% conference champions.
Yeah.
You left Wyoming behind. You know, in the little Mountain West, that's still together, and you're worried. You're so worried about possibly losing to Wyoming that you can't name who
they're
the hell your starting
about,
quarterback is.
It's not that they're worried about.
Then why
losing.
Play the games? Like that's like.
Did
why,
Wyoming announce their quarterback?
I would imagine so.
Okay, I think they so we don't have know. A feeling of who it is, but
okay.
Yeah.
So every team in the country right now is feeling out what they have.
Every team,
even
in
CU,
the...
2 weeks ago, it wasn't an obvious Julian Lewis.
That's 2 weeks ago.
Zach Wilson. Zach, what's his name?
Yeah, Zach Wilson.
And his brother, Isaac Wilson.
Isaac, yeah. Zach Wilson, pretty good guy.
Pretty good guy.
But every team out there, 2 weeks away, like, that's what I got in the yelling match with Ed Lamb about. I'm like, who's going to be the starters? Well, I don't know. It's not BS. You know who the starters are, and if you don't at this point, then you're weak at that position.
There is zero need to appease us on who the starting quarterback is.
That is
all this conversation is. There's zero need to announce any of that for any reason whatsoever. If the team knows, then who cares?
Okay, I agree with you. If every person in that CSU football locker room knows who the starting quarterback is, I'm good.
But even if just the coaching staff knows.
No, not good enough.
That's
not good enough, because that's how the divide amongst teams start.
But like, if Haas Haney's named the starter, and then 4 weeks go by and he's not that great, and then Coach Moore's talking about it, then we have a quarterback battle. Yeah, then I'm kind of more like, we want to know who that is.
Is that not more likely to enter and put pressure on Mora to do that now, because he's calling it a competition down to the wire? Because, well, if there's not a clear cut, if Haas Haney's not the guy,
I'd like to see what Farrar has. I think every situation, if you want to say Teddy Bridgewater, Drew Locke, that wasn't a good quarterback competition, that one sucked, I agree. In this case, a new coach bringing in a new system, he's got two young quarterbacks that are both pretty good. I don't have an issue with opening this up to a competition.
So why does Stidham and Ellinger ever get reps? You know, Bo Nix is going to be the quarterback.
What do you think that percentage is? I mean, it's 80-20?
No.
Yes.
No way.
Yeah, it's got those with the first team.
And third stringers are getting way more reps.
Not a chance. At quarterback, and there's not a chance. It's got to be 80-20, Bo, with that first team. It has to be.
But it's ankle.
If this is 50-50 between Haney and Farrar, like, you're not in a good spot. You're not in a good spot.
We're arguing about something we don't even know exists as a problem.
Well, we know that there is not a starting quarterback named. We know that.
Smitty texting, a Tanner might need a margarita or a Midol or both.
I'd go with the latter.
Mm-hmm. You're just very worked up about this.
I'll have to ask you what that other one is when we get to commercial.
26 break. Minutes after the hour.
I do like margaritas, though.
I do, too.
Mm-hmm. Wasn't that one.
Oh, is that? Oh.
Screw you, Smitty.
Screw you, Smitty. You suck, dude. Now, I hope Wyoming beats CSU by 20.
26 minutes after
by
the
26.
Hour. Let's take a quick break here. My gosh, we'll recover from that. Keep it here on the whole show. We'll be right back.
The countdown to kickoff starts now. Preps Radio travels to Alt and will be live with the Highland Huskies starting at 5 p.m. Brought to you by the Cow Saloon and Eatery.
In Colorado, local matters. It matters who you trust, who knows your name, and who's rooted right here in our state. I'm Sean Ostoff, president of Bank of Colorado, and we're staying grounded in the same values we've built on for generations. At Bank of Colorado, we stay true to what matters most. Local decisions, real relationships, and communities we call home. If you're ready for a bank built for Colorado and committed to it, choose Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
This is Ed Werder, NFL reporter for ESPN and a 1982 graduate of the University of Northern Colorado. Hope you'll continue to listen to the award-winning Hull Show, 1310 KFKA.
Interior sprinkler systems, anything to do with fire suppression and safety, they're going to help you out. Sprinkler installation, fire extinguisher inspection, kitchen hoods, paint booths. Give them a visit at interiorsprinkler.com. And thanks to Interior Sprinkler Systems, we will be live and on location next Friday, beginning with Coach Speak, when the Bears are playing under the lights for the first time ever at Nottingham Field. Coach Speak will be live 10 to 11. I'll be live out there. We're always live. I don't know why we say live. 11 to 2. And then Rocky Mountain kickoff will begin at 2 o'clock with myself, Tanner Schwent, the dude down the hall, and Mike dancing with himself. So looking forward to the return of that show next week. And what better way to start that than be out at Nottingham Field as we're taking in the tailgate stuff. Mike, it's going to be great.
First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. So more on the Nuggets stuff. And where do they go from here? And what does this season, what will this upcoming season look like? I still think this team could kind of crack open that championship window. But that's going to depend on health. If Aaron Gordon and Christian Brown, those two guys, can be healthy again and stay healthy. And again, Christian Brown doesn't have a history of this. This is why it was so tough for him, I believe, last year. He never really experienced any big-time injuries. And so when he got hurt and then he's recovering from it, he didn't look like himself. I mean, his claim to fame, one of the big reasons he got that contract, Mike, is because he's one of the best finishers in the league. He's so quick, he can get down to the, you know, if he gets a steal or fast break, he's one of the best fast break players, young fast break players in the NBA. That wasn't really a part of his game as much last year. We didn't see that explosive Christian Brown, that side-to-side defense that we were so used to the last couple of years with him. So he's a big reason, a big part of if the Nuggets are, as far as saying, if the Nuggets are going to have some success, you need the Christian Brown that you signed. Not the one that got hurt last year and then had a hard time recovering. Because we were told, like, he was still dealing with that, man. That was still a significant injury with him throughout the course of the season. He played through it. Peyton Watson did not. And that's part of what makes me feel all right about this Watson deal, is because all the rumors out there that it was a business decision. He made a business decision. He and his agents made a business decision during the playoffs to basically not tough it out. I don't know how severe it was. That's why I hate like speaking on it, going deeply into it, because I hate to call a guy out and say, oh, he's not as hurt as he's letting on, things like that. But it's out there, and that's part of what leads me to believe, even if you could strike a deal with this guy, if you get that news, is that a guy you want? Is that a guy you're... I mean, we've never had an issue with Peyton Watson, man. Nothing about him ever seemed negative. But then that story kind of came out. We all kind of wondered it, right? We all kind of thought, maybe, how hurt is he? Could he play? If he was signed to a long-term contract, would he be playing right now? But it didn't happen. And here we are. Here's where the Nuggets sit after the deal. They are $1.3 million over the second apron. They have two roster spots open. They'll create a trade exception for 50% of Peyton Watson's salary. However, they're not allowed to use and exceed the second apron because this is a sign and trade. The Nuggets had zero tradable firsts prior to this trade. That according to Bobby Marks. The optics don't look good. You didn't really retain much of that roster. Those guys you picked up last year because of the trade of Michael Porter Jr., they're gone. Tim Hardaway Jr., gone. Man, Jonas Valanciunas, gone. Bruce Brown, probably gone. And this is your team. Jamal Christian, Cam Johnson. Cam Johnson's going to have to step up. There were a lot of rumors swirling that the Nuggets would trade him. Then we heard even more that teams approached the Nuggets about him, and maybe Denver wasn't really interested. They, for the most part, are ready to run this back. And the other thing with Watson, too, is he a starter if he plays for Denver? Like, is he starting over Cam Johnson? Is he coming off the bench? Are you paying a guy $16 million to come off of the bench? Listen, I'm not trying to spin this. It's not good. This wasn't good news that Peyton Watson was traded, because he was a priority for them. He's a good young player. He might be really good someday. And Denver didn't do a whole lot in the offseason. But I truly believe that as this thing progressed, Peyton Watson's agents had no interest in having their client be a long-term Denver Nugget. Right now, I'm guessing he'll start for Cleveland with Harden and Donovan Mitchell and Mobley. They got Jaren Allen at center. Guessing he would start at the three for him. Listen, I'll be watching. will I be rooting for him to succeed? That's tough because I'm a fan of Peyton Watson. And watch him just take his game to another level, and then you would look back and say, wow, that was one of the big losses in Nuggets history. We haven't seen a ton of those. There's not a ton of guys that have moved on from the Nuggets during this, you know, Joker era where we've said, well, they should have held on to that guy. He was pretty damn good. Not a ton of those guys. 38 minutes after the hour. Mike, let's jump out real quick and get the latest on the local Sports Flash.
Hey, this is Ellison Hubbard, former CSU Ram, and you're listening to The Hole Show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
So apparently the 60-yard touchdown pass that Jaylen Waddle had was against Patrick Surtain. Yesterday was a 50-plus pass from Bo, stepped up into the pocket, launched it, and Waddle was a full stride past Patrick Surtain. Here's a weird question. Is it obvious to you that Waddle's the number one wide receiver? Or do you potentially still go Courtland Sutton there? Does it matter? I mean, more plays are going to be designed for the number one. Sutton looked freaking good last week, Mike. That one-handed grab, that guy can go up and get it. Like, he's definitely going to still be that guy, a trusted guy for Bo. Waddle's going to be the explosive one. I just wonder if, like, that matters at all. Sutton's going to be number one.
I wonder if, so for us fans and media, Waddle is the number one, but I don't know if the coaching staff sees it that way.
And it does, and people go, what does it matter if they're both on the field? The number one receiver is, you're designing more plays for him where he's option number one. And, you know, even if the play isn't designed, or wherever it's designed, it's still going to go to whoever. You know, this is your first read. Who is your first read? That's how you should say it. Not who's the number one receiver. Who's going to be Bo's first read on the majority of plays? But former teammates going at it, man. Jaylen Waddle, Patrick Surtain, like in a playing way. Not, we got to be careful because they weren't fighting. That's awesome. That's what you want. Surtain was asked about it. He said, it's practice. At the end of the day, we're out here getting better. It's going to be plays like that. Plays like that happen. You're going to make plays. Sometimes plays like that happen. It's definitely something you can learn from. Excuse me.
I hope Waddle is so good that he's just that much better than Surtain. Because think about how great it would be for the Broncos.
Well, having those guys practice against each other too, getting better every single day.
Iron sharpens iron.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, that doesn't make me think any type of way about Pat Surtain, dude. I still think he's one of, if not the top cornerbacks in the league. But it just shows you how good Waddle could potentially be, man. And with Sean Payton, with Davis Webb, maybe
with
you see
Bo
that
Nicks.
Guy unlocked a little bit more. And I mean, this is only a good thing for Bo. Because every single year we've gone into this, Mike, it's been Courtland Sutton and the others, right? Like, there's not been obvious guys at wide receiver.
And the others have been fairly
fine,
dependable.
But inconsistent, kind of, because one day it's this guy, Troy Franklin, Marvin Mims, now Pat Bryant, who's having a good camp, Lil Jordan Humphrey. Those are all, that was kind of a handful of guys that you think maybe could be really good. But this is the year where you look at this and say, I feel like this wide receiver core is solidified. Sutton, Waddle, Pat Bryant, which we're hearing tons about, probably going to be the three guy. And then the rest aren't going to be asked. You know, Troy Franklin, you're not going to demand too much from him.
We're going to have to pick the roster before it comes out.
Yeah. We'll do that.
On a Friday.
We'll start putting it together. Because we got to get this thing figured out, Mike. I want to see what's the most interesting position as far as seeing how many, like the number tagged to that position group. Like, we talked a lot about the running backs, and are they going to carry four tailbacks or not?
I think they carry.
That's tough because that would, if you carry three, then that would mean Jaleel McLaughlin's getting knocked out of there.
Yeah, and McLaughlin's been playing really, really inconsistently, but
yeah,
like he's able to make plays, but that dropped pass and that fumble.
Yeah,
I don't know how that hurts his chances for going.
Probably
to another
evened
team.
It out, getting the touchdown and then the fumble. Probably just evened it out. I don't know. But they're going to have a fullback on this team, so obviously that's one of the reasons you would consider carrying less tailbacks.
And how many tight ends are you going to keep?
Yeah, right now you got Ingram, Troutman, the rookie Justin Jolie, and then Nate Adkins is there, the Utah guy, loner. What's going to happen to him? We keep hearing stuff about him. But...
did you watch Lucas Kroll absolutely
Lucas
miss
Kroll.
A block?
Yeah, he might be not making it. 48 minutes after the hour, what did we learn on today's show? Michael, that's coming up next. Keep it here on The Whole Show. We're on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.
Football, volleyball, and all the preps fall sports you can handle. Listen to Coach Speak weekdays at 10 on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hi, this is Jesse Kurtz, executive producer and lead anchor of the Mountain West Network, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
What did we learn on this 20th day of August, Michael? I learned a couple of things. Kevin Lytle, he's leaning... certainly, he said this the last couple weeks, but Haas Haney, he's thinking that. He's not basing that off of anything he's heard from coach or anything out of CSU, but he's thinking Haas Haney, quarterback going forward. The Nuggets moved on from Peyton Watson, and it just feels like we're lost right now, Mike. It feels like the Nuggets are in a dark place. And we learned that Jaylen Waddle possesses one of the things that we are very interested in around here on The Whole Show, and that's hot, nasty speed.
And he's so good at being hot and nasty. He beat our number one, potential future Hall of Famer.
Who also has hot, nasty speed. What'd you learn today, Mike?
I learned that. Also, I learned that we're probably going to have to we're going to have to predict who's going to be on the roster before it is official.
We'll do that next week. Let's do it next week. Well, in 2 weeks. Next week. Next week
we could do it in 2 weeks.
No, we can do it in 2 weeks.
Doesn't cut down day, isn't that like a Tuesday?
Yeah, I believe so. So that'll be fun for us, Mike. Be some team bonding we can do.
Yeah, I think I know a few players who are not going to get cut.
We'll see. Yeah.
I think we both agree on Jonah Coleman.
Well, yeah.
Good.
Yeah, he's gonna be a stud, man. He'll be a stud.
Stay
healthy. All right, we'll be back at it. One final night of our high school football training camp coverage. Coach Bruce Dick's gonna be out at in Alt tonight for Highland Huskies talk, and then the real deal, high school football, Valley Platte Valley tomorrow night. It's back on KFKA. That'll do it for us. We'll be back at it on a Friday. Good night, Northern Colorado.
This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. Honesty, integrity, hard work. It's the way you live and the way we bank. Bank of Colorado has been a family-owned, community-focused bank for generations and will be here for generations to come. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.